makes a change.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. The British oil giant BP is replacing the head of its Alaskan operation, Steve Marshall. This follows major problems at the company's Prudhoe Bay oil field due to pipeline corrosion. From London, Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports.
BP says the replacement of Steve Marshall has nothing to do with its problems in Alaska. Analysts here take that with a grain of salt. Marshall has presided over a series of setbacks, a massive oil spill, labor unrest, and the closure of half the Prudhoe Bay oil field this summer. After BP's other big American troubles, like the Texas City refinery fire, it was inevitable that at least one head would roll, says David Buick of Cantor Index.
You cannot have three fairly serious disasters and not actually change some of the management. It isn't a question of admitting guilt. It's just a question of taking sensible remedial action.
Last month, BP shareholders took action of their own. They launched a lawsuit against the company's executives. They're seeking compensation for the sharp fall in BP's share price due to the American difficulties. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
A federal appeals court has blocked a landmark judgment against the tobacco industry. Back in August, a judge ruled tobacco companies had violated racketeering laws. The court said the companies had misled the public for decades about the health hazards of smoking. Big Tobacco was ordered to stop using labels like light or mild since they are no safer than any other kind of cigarette. But yesterday, an appeals court put a hold on that ruling. That means tobacco companies can continue selling low-tar and mild brands. While we're talking about smoke, the nation's highest court today will hear a case that pits environmentalists against factories. The question is, how should the federal government measure smokestack emissions? The case could force companies to add new and expensive pollution controls. We get the details from Nancy Marshall Genzer.
Factory owners want the feds to base their emission measurements on how much pollution is produced in a single hour. Environmentalists want the feds to tally net emissions over a longer period, such as a year. Alabama Solicitor General Kevin Newsom filed a friend-of-the-court brief in the case. He says companies won't do upgrades that could make the plants run longer if it'll cost them. Newsom says it's like making repairs to your car, costing more than it's worth.
The rational driver faced with that scenario, we'll just keep driving.
But John Walk of the Natural Resources Defense Council says that analogy won't work.
Power plant lobbyists use the analogy in order to mask the fact that what they want to do is causing the air to get dirtier.
If environmentalists win the case, companies might have to replace their aging plants. They say that would cost millions. But environmentalists say cleaner factories would mean less money spent treating diseases caused by pollution. I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace.
Singular is getting ready to jump into the music download business. The Wall Street Journal says a cell phone company is cutting deals with services like Napster, Yahoo Music, and eMusic. Singular could announce its new service as soon as tomorrow. The Dow didn't exactly have anything to brag about yesterday. It slipped 5 points to 12,080. The Nasdaq eased up 2 points to 2,366. And the S&P was flat at 1,377. This is Marketplace. India is one of the world's largest exporters of long-grain basmati rice. But rice that has been genetically modified could pose economic problems. Miranda Kennedy reports from New Delhi.
Rice traders have warned the Indian government that their exports will suffer unless they stop trials of genetically modified rice. Rice farmers are worried, too. This weekend, hundreds of farmers set fire to a farm testing GM rice. Suman Sahai, head of the Gene Campaign in New Delhi, says India's two biggest markets for rice, Europe and the Middle East, won't go near GM foods.
So all the places where you're exporting your rice are places that have already declared their opposition to genetically engineered foods, and therefore you will lose that market.
She points out that the EU recently declared it would test all shipments of long-grain rice from the U.S. because of GM contamination. In New Delhi, I'm Miranda Kennedy for Marketplace.
You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report, distributed by American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. By the Society for Human Resource Management's Building Profit Through Building People, a new book exploring HR contributions to business, financial, employee, customer, and shareholder success. SHRM.org. And by LendingTree.com, where you can choose from up to four customized loan offers, 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win. LendingTree.com.
This is Marketplace. I'm Mark Austin Thomas. About 440,000 Americans consider themselves of Lebanese descent. They remain connected to their homeland by giving money to help develop their hometowns. During the recent battle between Israel and Hezbollah, many gave money directly to those affected by the fighting. Two dozen Lebanese Americans recently traveled to Lebanon to see where their dollars were needed most. Ben Gilbert joined them and filed this report.
The last time most of the businessmen from Dearborn, Michigan's Arab American Chamber of Commerce came to Lebanon was for vacation. But in October, they returned to survey the physical and economic damage from the 34-day war between Israel and Hezbollah. Nasser Baydoun, the chamber's chairman, got his first real view of the destruction in Beirut's southern suburbs.
I have two aunts that lived in that building that was over there.
Baydoun looks stunned by the devastation. He points to an area the size of a football field that's now just dirt and debris, bookended by blocks of 10-story apartment buildings. Baydoun helped lead the delegation of 30 Lebanese Americans back to their hometowns. Dearborn lawyer Ali Dagher is from Bint Jebel, one of the border villages that was hardest hit by the Israelis. Before the war, he and other members of the chamber put up $800,000 to showcase U.S. support in the Hezbollah-dominated town. From their tour bus, they are seeing what happened for the first time since the war.
We hadn't planned to build a community center here, and I think we want to move ahead with that community center now as quickly as possible. And we're going to put from the people of the United States right on the front side so they know that indeed this is something that we as Lebanese Americans are doing. And in fact, it is in an indirect way per grata from the American people.
Dagher left Bint Jebel when he was 11 years old. And his visit to the town is like a city tour, but in reverse. He describes in detail buildings that are no longer there.
It's hard to believe. Yeah, where are all the buildings? Where are all the buildings? Oh my God, there's nothing left.
Dagher gets off the bus and heads toward his late grandfather's home. The two-room concrete structure is damaged beyond repair. An artillery shell exploded on the roof, leaving a huge hole in the ceiling. Chunks of wall mixed with broken furniture inside. Dagher says that despite the destruction, he'll help to rebuild his grandfather's house.
Because I think it's important for people to see the vitality of the town. A town without homes, a town without a soul represented in those homes is really not a town at all. You can't let just one battle destroy that.
The war did destroy one of Dagher's plans. He wanted to move back to Lebanon with his family in the next 5 years. Now he wonders if that will ever happen. In Beirut, I'm Ben Gilbert for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
Big Tobacco's whipping.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.